my sermon topic, and I just wrote down preaching to the choir, as I've been preaching on Sunday evening. I imagine today you all up here and me sitting back there, you all preaching to me. But anyways, we're going to call this preaching to the choir, and it was about salvation and on my heart, and I just wrote down a bunch of questions, so that's kind of the route we're going to go. I'll tell you the question and we'll discuss a little bit. So let's just go ahead and go to him in prayer. Praise your name right now as best I can, Lord. I want to give it all up to you and for you, that you'll take control of the service, Lord, that you'll humble me to be what I need to be, Lord, to say the words that need to be said, to prepare hearts that need to receive something this evening, Lord. I just lift up your name and know, and just pray again that you'll anoint this message this evening. And I ask, Lord, that you be with them, stir within our hearts as only you can. I do ask again, Lord, that you get me out of the way, Lord, and forgive me where I fail you. And for your favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So I sat back there and I got this spew all lined out. And I know I need to quit doing that because I draw a blank every time. And this was in the Funk and Wagnalls, The Process or State of Being Saved, a theological definition is deliverance from sin and penalty realized in a future state. It's any means of deliverance from danger, evil, or ruin, and the fourth opportunity. Salvation is an opportunity through Jesus to come to God. Okay? If we take advantage of that opportunity. But everybody has the opportunity for salvation. It's preached in there. And I've been leaping through a lot of scriptures last night and today, and I can't remember where it's at, but I've seen it. It will appear God has given to everybody and that's been alive, going to be alive, the opportunity to know salvation. Where does it come from? And I got a lot of these ideas because I read the book of Psalms at work. You remember when they give those out, the Gideons? And I found out, I put it in my dinner bucket, and then I've been reading it there, but I went through, I just finished up Psalms, and where does it come from? And it comes from God, by God, who is the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? That tells me that's where salvation comes from. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. There again, that was Psalm 37, verse 39. And as I'm doing this, I'm thinking, all you guys know this. You've heard it's been preached here before. But I have a point to it, and it'll come just a little later. Upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. So When I call it mine, it's truly his. It truly is his. And I got to thinking, Dave's salvation is no different. I used to think, well, his is greater than mine. It's all the same. The only difference is us. Because it's all from God, so God is all the same. He's not going to give somebody more of one and less of another. Okay? Okay, next, here again, there's a question I'm putting to you all. You all know how big your salvation is. You know it. But anyways, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Big enough to save the world from its sin. How big is that? Pretty big. Pretty big. Okay, Luke 2:28, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Now let me explain that a little bit. As Simeon, he was waiting on a promise that was told him by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Lord Jesus before he died. Okay. Then took he him up. Jesus' parents had brought him into, I can't remember what town, it might have been Jerusalem, into the temple. Okay. Then took he him up in the arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So how big? Worldwide. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. I jotted a note beside that scripture this morning. We sang that song, Jesus, the solid rock I stand. That is it. How big is Jesus? How big is Jesus? Ask yourself that, okay? And I'm building this up to something here, because we got to realize how big of a possession that we have. Okay? We're going to get to a point where I'm afraid we'll get a little lax about it. But we'll get to that. Unless the Lord takes us there earlier. Okay. Who needs it? And there again, you know, most everybody here, they know who needs it. We all need it. We couldn't be good enough because we need it. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Second, and there is a ton of scriptures that puts us in our place right there that tells us who needs it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I just wrote a note to everybody that's here, everybody that's out there, everybody that's in the world. That covers us all. We all need that. Okay, why do we need it? Why do we need it? And you know, I just put a little note here at the beginning. We couldn't make it. He gave the law to show us what for. He gave them a law to live by so they'd realize that they couldn't make it. Okay, and we're the same way. We look at the law, we think we can be good enough. We can't be good enough. And then here's another note from the morning. Jesus filled that gap between God and man. And that's what, our purpose. I've been thinking a lot. Why didn't he just say, Lord, how many people would not get saved that have got saved because of the unknown of doing that quick? Who would be here to fill that gap? Okay. And Paul, somebody read that this morning. You read this. Christ to die is gain. Think hallelujah to that. That answered my question, you know, why? Because I really wanted to go. I really wanted to go, but there's a purpose. Okay. John 14:5 said, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. Can we know the way? John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's why we need it. Bottom line, there's lots of things that we can be in the presence of the Lord. Without salvation, there is total separation. And I jotted down into that. That's my favorite song, Brian. I can only imagine. And there will be a day. Won't there be a day? That should make us just swell up inside and rejoice. And that's a lot of the point to, I'm trying to build up what we have. What that possession that God give us, and it's God's, and He freely gave it to us. What happens when we accept it? For God so loved the world, everybody knows this one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I always emphasize believeth after committed to. The Greek is committed to. For that whosoever is committed to Jesus should not perish but have everlasting life. So that's enough right there. It should keep us excited. Okay? Psalms 103:11, for as heaven is high that fear Him, for as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us, our sins from us. Apprehend that. That should be enough to to keep us excited about the possession that we have. That's why I'm preaching to the choir here, you know, but we need to be fired up. We need us, okay? You know, I got four questions wrote down, no scriptures. We're going to wing it a bit here. Do we rejoice in what we have? When you're maybe a kid at a birthday party and you get a gift from somebody, how excited are you? We need to be that excited every minute of every day, because that gift is a continuing gift. That gift I got as a child, or even something I got for Christmas last year, I don't even remember what it was, or it might be tore up, might be packed away, might have sold it in a yard sale. You know, this is something that is just like when we first got it. I think about that return to our first love. And I always think of Dave in Mannington, West Virginia. Because you could tell that was true and real. And he still feels it today. And that's been 50, how many years ago? 1972. Yeah. It's been a long time ago. Sue might have graduated that year. I remember that. What is experience in salvation to its fullest? And I look at the scriptures, and you can take every page out of the Bible and talk about grace. And talk about experiencing what God has for us. That is awesome, people. It's awesome. It's awesome. If nobody else gets excited tonight, I am. Okay? He brought me from the depths of where I just didn't want to be and where I couldn't do nothing, couldn't function, to write, preaching the message of the promises that He has for us and what He's done for us, and that it is true and it is real and it is right in here in each and every one of us. That's it. Now, back up. Do we neglect so great a salvation? Okay. Now, here was mainly my point. Sometimes we take what we have for granted. And maybe that's our human nature. I take Debbie for granted. Okay. And I know she takes me for granted. God-given gift to man. Free. We didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to do nothing for it. We cannot neglect that. I thought about, here's a good example if you've had kids. Thought about Livy. If you let the diaper go a little too long, which we can call neglect, whines and cries. And I was thinking, if we neglect so great a salvation, our bottoms will get red and sore. Okay? Here's the final question during the Exodus. Okay. Now, He done these great things for them right in front of them, one after the other, and they still murmured. They took for granted what they had. And that's my point. I'm saying what we got as Drift Run Church, I'm saying what we got for our sins, that we can rejoice, that we can be bold in our lives for Jesus. Amen. Debbie's uncle. I don't know if he's had anything to do with God. I don't know. Really not too acquainted with him, really. But I got to sit down and tell him how to be saved. There's no reason I can't. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I have to present it to him. What? That's his choice. That was his opportunity. He's a fine fella. He's a good man. But that's my point. At work, I tried conversation, being in the bathroom, wash your hands, how you doing? Hey, by the way, you know Jesus loves you. And please don't think I'm standing up here going like this, because I'm trying to push to be where God needs me to be, where God wants me to be. And the last fella I did, it was a real blessing to me. You know, I didn't know him at all. And you know how we'll look at a person in their attire and extra things on their bodies, you know, and maybe judge. Okay. And he said, "Thank you, sir. We need more of that." And I praise the Lord, you know. And if I, and if you want to get a song, just think about what we talked about here. Take that possession that you have, nurture it, care for it, don't neglect it. God loves us so much. He sent His Son that we can have the opportunity to be with Him one day. Hallelujah. Thank you.